You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What is up, Wisconsin? How y'all doing? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy almost hump day. I don't know, Calvin. Everything is happening so quickly. There's so much every day that I seemingly have to come up with something to help me get through the week, something to bridge me through, because it's just such a fire hose. So I think we'll call it hump day eve. What do you think?
Yeah, no, that works for me. Like you said, so much happens. The week feels to drag by, but then you blink and it's the weekend and you don't know where it went.
Yes, I feel like time has moved since COVID, both quickly and very slowly at the same time, which makes no sense. But yet that is how I feel like I'm experiencing it. I'm sure that's shared by many of you out there. Today, we have some time for you and I to talk to one another to begin the Maggie Dawn Show. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So much that's happened, but there are two bits of breaking news that I have to tell you, again, were types of breaking news that didn't surprise me at all whatsoever, and yet disappointed me to a really extreme degree. I want to talk about those two to get the show kicked off today. I'll tell you exactly what those are. If you want to get your two cents in, I'm going to be talking about the FBI probe of Brett Kavanaugh that actually turned out never actually was a thing. It was all just a big lie. They really didn't look into Brett Kavanaugh much at all. I want to talk about that breaking news from the Washington Post. And of course, wow. Apparently, Donald Trump thought it was a good idea to, you know, send Vladimir Putin COVID tests when Americans didn't have them. Back at the height of the coronavirus pandemic, this coming from Bob Woodward's newest book, War, that broke earlier this morning. That's what I want to talk about with you all. I want to hear your opinions, 855-752-4842. And don't worry if you don't know what I'm talking about. I'll explain it all. But of course, we've got great guests today here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Really excited to have joining me at the bottom of the hour, Jeff Mandel. He is the general counsel for Law Forward. And again, Law Forward, if you haven't heard of them, they have been an absolute, frankly, done heroic work to help preserve and protect democracy from lies and scare tactics and all the baloney that's getting traded on and by the far, far right, including some folks right here in Wisconsin. So we're going to be joined by Jeff Mandel. I want to talk to him especially about the spate of lawsuits that are going on across the country brought by the MAGA ultra right. It won't surprise any of you that those lawsuits, well, they're all in swing states, because apparently only in swing states are they worried about election processes. It's weird, isn't it? I mean, kind of strange. We'll talk about the categories that these lawsuits fall into, what voters should be looking out for, how you can get more involved. That's at 2:30. At the top of the hour, of course, it is Maggie and the Millionaires Talking Money. We've got a really important guest today. Her name is Amy Hanauer. She's the executive director for the Institute on Tax and Economic Policy, ITEP for short. They just dropped a bombshell analysis of the impacts of Donald Trump's group of tax policy proposals. You know, the like not taxing overtime, not taxing tips, not taxing Social Security, but also giving billionaires and 100 millionaires tax breaks, lowering corporate tax rates even more. Yeah, they break that down. Amy's going to tell us whether or not that actually results, inclusive of the 20% tariff. Does that, on average, lower the taxes of middle-class folks all across the income spectrums of middle-class people? And how does Trump's plans taken together impact the taxes for the richest of the rich, the top 5%? They analyzed it. ITAP is a nonpartisan data wonk organization. This is what they do day in, day out. That's Amy Hanauer at 3 p.m. Is Donald Trump's group of tax policy proposals going to help or hurt the middle class? And is it going to help or hurt the richest of the rich, top 5%? Don't miss that, Maggie and the Millionaires today. To round it out, I've been talking about this a bit on my own, but I'm really glad to be joined by one of the journalists that's been following what I'm going to call the Theobro movement. It's this group of weirdly all bearded dudes that basically have said things like slavery was a good thing and women shouldn't have the right to vote, and are advocating for a takeover of every aspect of government, every aspect of our court system by Christian nationalists. It is scary. I'm going to be joined by Kiara Butler from Mother Jones Magazine. She has been on the ground talking to folks involved in this movement, and she's going to be here to share some of her observations. You're not going to want to miss that. But folks, I want to hear from you. Again, I think two absolutely bombshell pieces of reporting of news coming out today. The first is that the FBI was basically sandbagged by the Trump White House and was ordered to, well, I should say it the opposite way, was never given the directive to actually follow up on any of the tips or leads related to the accusations against Brett Kavanaugh. That is just insane to me. And oh, by the way, Donald Trump was lying to the American public the entire time. Oh, I've told the FBI to run down every lead, to do everything they want. And meanwhile, he knew damn well that without his say-so, without the White House's approval, the FBI could not follow up on the leads, on the tips that were coming in, by the way, by the thousands about Brett Kavanaugh. We're going to talk about all of that. And then the second piece of absolutely stunning news coming from Bob Woodward's newest book titled War, which is coming out on October 15th, in a week from today. The fact that when Americans were dying of the coronavirus, dying, which led to over a million Americans dead under Donald Trump, when there were not enough COVID tests for Americans, Donald Trump got on his super secret bat phone, called up his buddy Vladimir Putin, and sent him COVID tests. When there were not enough COVID tests to go around, and we take that, of course, in context of what's going on right now with Superstorm probably going to turn into a Hurricane Milton and Hurricane Ellen. Donald Trump, every time he opens his mouth, accuses Joe Biden and Vice President Harris of the very things that he did, such as, of course, wasting our precious resources, our emergency resources, by diverting emergency funding to migrant-related issues. That has never happened under Biden and Harris. Never. Donald Trump did it. He did it in 2018. The idea that you would send precious supplies needed to help save American lives to Vladimir Putin in the midst of 2020 and the uptick of the coronavirus pandemic with tens of thousands of Americans dying? What the hell is wrong with you? I don't understand this at all. I want to hear from you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Okay, I think I want to start with the FBI probe because it's pretty basic. And yet it took over 6 years for the Senate Judiciary Committee to get the information that it sought about what investigation, if any, the FBI did beyond the basic vetting that is done, which admittedly is in depth, but did not uncover the sexual assault allegations that were later leveled against Justice Brett Kavanaugh. So the Senate Judiciary Committee commenced an investigation to find out what the FBI did or did not do after the accusations by Christine Blasey Ford, as well as another woman, came forward. And again, that was after the FBI did its background checking that is typically required of the FBI for all Supreme Court candidates. They didn't uncover this, okay? Because the important part is after the testimony of Christine Blasey Ford, Donald Trump came out and said, the FBI can do whatever it wants. Well, what this Senate investigation has found out was that that was a bald-faced lie. Absolutely untrue. And in fact, when FBI agents heard Donald Trump's statements, they were confused. Very confused, because they couldn't do any of those things. They couldn't follow up on tips. They hadn't been given permission to even interview Miss Blasey Ford or the additional woman, Deborah Ramirez, who had come forward in a New Yorker story saying that Kavanaugh had shoved his penis into her face during a dorm party when they were both at Yale University in the 1980s. They never even talked to those two women. So as Trump's out there lying to the American public, the FBI was confused because what he was saying, the FBI can investigate whatever they want. They should track it. I want them to interview whomever they deem appropriate at their discretion. They have, quote, free rein to vet the claims. Those were lies told by Donald Trump. And it so surprised the FBI that they asked for, quote, additional guidance from the White House and cited to those remarks by Donald Trump. And they're like, we can? Do you really mean that? And the reason, when there is supplemental investigation of a nominee that is requested by a particular federal government agency, the FBI only has the legal authority to investigate according to the scope of the authority requesting that supplemental investigation, here, the White House. So Trump said they had free rein, but in reality, they had no rein, no rein at all, not even a bit of a leash to go investigate or talk to the accusers themselves or any of the witnesses that the accusers said would corroborate their accounts. We'll talk more about it. I want to hear from you after these brief messages. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. We'll talk about this and the bombshell revelation that Donald Trump was busy kissing Vladimir Putin's butt as Americans were dying. Oh, what's up, Wisconsin and beyond? I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You know, if you're a woman listening to this show right now and you watched Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings, you watched Christine Blasey Ford's testimony, and you're objective and you're being truthful about this, first of all, whether you're a woman or a man, she was highly credible. His denials simply were not. They just simply were not. She was specific. She was candid about the gaps in her memory. And she was believable. Period. But if you're a woman and you watched that, and keep in mind, 1 in 3 women are survivors of sexual assault. An incredibly high proportion of women have been sexually harassed in the workplace. So if your man, some woman that you know, has experienced the very things that now Justice Kavanaugh was accused of, but if you're a woman and you read this report that Donald Trump was lying to the American people, saying the FBI could investigate all of these claims, when in fact the White House stood in the way of any meaningful investigation of these women who accused Justice Kavanaugh of what would be disqualifying behavior. is absolutely despicable, but yet entirely predictable, because Donald Trump only knows and only talks about the things that he knows. He only knows how he would operate in this pure, distilled down self-interest, do whatever it takes, tell whatever lie is required to advance your interest. And every time he accuses anybody else of any wrongdoing, it's because he himself has engaged that wrongdoing, because that's how his brain works. This is so disgusting. And it makes plain that Justice Kavanaugh should not be sitting on that Supreme Court. And by the way, let me connect the dots. If he wasn't seated, it is very likely that we may not have seen the overturn of Roe v. Wade. So all of this deeply matters. Consider this. Messages into the FBI tip line regarding Kavanaugh, and by the way, they never set up a specific tip line for Kavanaugh, which is unusual. These are just the stuff that was called into the FBI's general tip line, were forwarded directly to the White House and were never probed. The FBI was instructed by the White House to only speak with 10 potential witnesses and was never provided any authority or leeway by the White House to pursue other witnesses or other corroborating evidence. And that is what was cited by every Republican senator in Kavanaugh's confirmation hearings. Well, there's no corroborating evidence. Yeah, because Donald Trump didn't let the FBI go find it. They used that as the fig leaf that would shield or provide a fig leaf of rationale to excuse their vote to confirm an accused sexual assaulter, a two-time confirmed sexual assaulter. And furthermore, members of the public had to use this, again, this existing portal called the National Threat Operations Center. That's how they had to call in the tips for Kavanaugh. The FBI received more than 4,500 calls and electronic messages related to Kavanaugh, and again, was directed to forward the tips to the White House and was told to stand down and not pursue any possible leads. This was Donald Trump executing catch and kill from the White House. Disgusting. Mark from Prairie du Sac, your thoughts this afternoon, sir.
Well, if there's only 4,000 tips, I think that's just the bottom, just the tip of the iceberg for Brett Kavanaugh. Because I've known women in my life who have been scarred by that kind of crap that Brett Kavanaugh pulled, and hearing their stories, I knew when they were confirming the bastard that he had done what she said, what Blasey Ford said, and there wasn't just her. I was sure of that. And that the fact that he's sitting on the Supreme Court now, and because men like Donald Trump, they don't think sexual assault is really a crime.
Yeah, well, Mark, to your point exactly, thanks for listening and thanks for the call. When I talk with Kiera Butler later today about these Theo bros, again, J.D. Vance is one of them. He sort of is an acolyte, pardon the pun, of these Theo bros. One of the things that they believe is that there's such a thing as like consensual rape, and that women are actually at least implicitly responsible for rape. I mean, that's one of their tenets. This fits the bill. I mean, this is part of a whole. Absolutely revolting. Brett Kavanaugh was unfit then. He remains unfit today. And he certainly is entirely unfit to decide decisions that have to do with a woman's freedom to choose health care. How ridiculous. But I just want to share these couple of additional details also about the bombshell reporting today coming from Bob Woodward's new book, War, which again comes out a week from today on October 15th. And that is, not only did Donald Trump send personally to Vladimir Putin COVID tests when there weren't enough COVID tests for Americans as Americans were dying. Putin, there's three little tidbits I want you to remember in addition to that. Putin told Trump on the phone, "I don't want you to tell anybody about this because people will get mad at you, not me." So why exactly, one might ask, was Donald Trump trying to curry favor with Vladimir Putin during his presidency? I wonder what incredible misinformation and lies will be spewed out of the Russian disinformation machine between now and November 5th. Because we are, let's see, I got to bring up my countdown clock, 27 days, 10 hours, 31 minutes, and now 48 seconds away from the election. That's shocking. But apparently, according to one of Trump's aides that worked in Mar-a-Lago, Trump has spoken with Vladimir Putin 7 times since he left the presidency. What were they talking about? Hey, did we find all of those super secret spy documents that they were storing in Mar-a-Lago? I wonder what Donald Trump was talking about with Vladimir Putin privately 7 times after he left the White House with all of those super secret spy documents that he kept illegally. I wonder. And the third thing I want you to remember is that Woodward also reports that Joe Biden can't stand Merrick Garland, and he's especially ticked about the Hunter Biden investigation. But guess what Joe Biden didn't do? Shut down the investigation or fire Merrick Garland. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. We'll be back after these brief messages with Jeff Mandel, General Counsel of Law Forward, talking about election security and all the lies about elections told by the GOP.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I wish my next guest was going to tell me and us and you something good, but I fear that may not be the case. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm super excited to be joined by my next guest, Jeff Mandel, who is the General Counsel of Law Forward, a law firm that I think has been doing absolute God's work on behalf of every Wisconsinite to preserve our access to the ballot box, to protect your vote, and to ensure that Republicans just don't run roughshod over our rights and democratic norms here in the state of Wisconsin. Welcome, Jeff. Thank you so much for making time.
Thank you so much for having me, Maggie.
Jeff, you and I first got to know each other when I was still back at Milwaukee County. I believe we were deep in COVID and looking down the barrel of some recounts in 2020 and a slew of other election-related issues, and it looks like conservatives are up to it again. According to Democracy Docket, a democratically aligned group that has been tracking election cases, there's upwards of 90. Some would say the numbers are even closer to a few hundred cases that are happening from coast to coast, brought by either the Trump campaign itself or, frankly, surrogates. I'm going to call them bagmen for Donald Trump, challenging all kinds of elements of our very secure, very safe, and very fair voting systems, mostly based on conspiracy theories that they trotted out in 2020 that have absolutely no basis in fact. Jeff, is Law Forward keeping an eye on these? I also just read that one of these sort of odd cases that's actually happening here in Wisconsin is a case that's happening in Thorn Apple, Wisconsin, which admittedly I had never heard of. And the DOJ has basically sued the village of Thorn Apple, Wisconsin, because they voted to ban voting machines, like the machines that you use to cast your vote, and that's going to make it much more difficult for folks to vote. It's going to lead to count irregularities because everybody who has ever had anything to do with elections knows that if you count ballots by hand, you never get the same number twice. But if you count them using a machine and then you triple verify with hand counts, you can generally get the same number replicated, which is a good thing when you're looking at data. But give us a sense of how widespread these attacks on the election processes are and what sort of a threat they pose in your expert opinion, Jeff.
Well, let me start, Maggie, by trying to maybe surprisingly set your mind at ease.
Oh, good.
Let me tell you that this is happening. And I'm not denying that, and we'll talk about that. But fundamentally, what your listeners should know is that we have a very strong election administration system in Wisconsin. And voters here can be confident that their votes are going to count and be counted, and they should absolutely participate. Absentee balloting, of course, by mail and Dropbox is already underway for an election that's only 4 weeks away. There'll be early in-person absentee voting or coming later this month, and there's still time for people to register, including Wisconsin's one of only a handful of states in the country that allows same-day registration on Election Day. There are, as you say, bad actors out there who are trying to interfere with our election system and even more trying to undermine confidence in that system. But because Wisconsin is well set up, because of what you and I went through 4 years ago, the conversations we had, the litigation that we went through, Wisconsin is in better shape than other states. We have, unsurprisingly, we're one of the swing states in the country. Everyone knows this. We have a disproportionate number of those cases that you mentioned before. There are attempts by bad actors, both nationally and here in Wisconsin, to impose conspiracy theories and interfere here in Wisconsin. But overall, I really do believe that voters should be confident. As you say, we at Law Forward and our allies are paying very close attention to these different lawsuits and efforts. We are getting involved in those cases where it is necessary. And we are preparing even for those problems that we don't expect to materialize. So we are in much, much better stead than we were heading into the 2020 election. And I think voters should be confident. I'm happy to talk about Thornapple or other specifics. But I do think the top line here is that everybody should be looking forward to this election and confident that the results will reflect what the people of Wisconsin choose.
Yeah, I agree with that assessment, Jeff. And it's an interesting quandary, if you will, in terms of how I figure out how to talk about this. And I'm so glad that you're here to help me, because on the one hand, as someone who's seen the lies, has seen the conspiracy theories, has seen the GOP make every effort to basically stop people from voting, this is about stopping Democrats from voting and coming up with theories that will disproportionately result in fewer Democrats voting. Like that's the plan here. It's not hard to suss out. So while sounding the alarm bell about that, while at the same time assuring people that, especially you and I, having literally watched this happen, having made these legal arguments in our prior lives, I have incredible confidence in both the people that staff our polling places, our elections officials, and that none of these bogus lawsuits basically has any merit in the end, because there's no evidence. Like, you can say whatever you want to say, but if you don't have any evidence, it's a problem. And we've seen some of the lawyers that engaged in these falsehoods have been severely disciplined and some disbarred. Some of those processes are still going on. Of course, John Eastman in California, Rudy Giuliani, probably the two most famous of that cast of characters. And then, of course, the Kraken lady. But let's start close to home. Tell folks a bit more about what the Thornapple case is about.
Sure. The Thornapple case, as you note, Thornapple is a small town in Rusk County, population just over 700 at the last census, where, as you said, folks there decided that they, infected by conspiracy theories and repeated disinformation for 4 years now, decided that electronic voting machines are really the source of the problem. And so they decided they were going to stop using those machines. They would have people cast ballots solely on paper, and they would count them solely on paper. As you note, every expert and every experiment shows that electronic counting is more accurate and more consistent. If you doubt that about elections, all you need to do is go to the bank. If you take out a lot of money from the bank, or you bring a lot of money to the bank, they count it using a machine, and they do it more than once, and they also sometimes count it by hand, but they trust that machine because the machine gets it right. And to be clear, they don't count it more than once because they think the machine might get it wrong. They count it more than once to make sure that different things aren't sticking together or anything like that. Thornapple decided it wasn't going to use its machines anymore. These machines that, by the way, were paid for by the taxpayers so that we could have better safer, more consistent, accurate elections here in Wisconsin and around the country. And Thornapple's decision has led to two different consequences. The first, as you mentioned, is a federal lawsuit by the United States Department of Justice that says to the town of Thornapple, you're violating federal law. Voters with disabilities need to have the right to vote privately and have the assistance of machines if they have visual problems where it's difficult for them to see and read a paper ballot, or if they have coordination problems where they can see and read it, but they can't control their hands well enough to fill in a small bubble or something like that. They need the assistance of these machines so that they can vote without relying on another person to help them do so. And the federal court has already stepped in, has issued an order requiring the town of Thornapple to go back to making sure that those machines are available to those voters who need them. The second consequence is that we at Law Forward, on behalf of a local citizen, filed a complaint with the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And this one's about the counting of the ballots, because we said, under Wisconsin state law, in addition to the federal laws and the state laws about disability voting rights, under Wisconsin state law, when the taxpayers have helped pay for these electronic voting machines, a municipality cannot stop using them for a capricious reason. It can't decide based on a conspiracy theory. If it wants to stop using them, it needs to go to the Elections Commission, explain why, and seek a waiver. And here the town of Thornapple hasn't done that. And so we have a complaint with the Elections Commission asking that the town of Thornapple be compelled to go back to using its voting machines and making sure that every vote is properly counted.
Thanks so much for that explanation. And I just want to point folks to, you can go and Google the Wisconsin Elections Commission. It is a bipartisan commission that is staffed by very good faith public servants. They are here to make sure that every legally cast ballot is counted. It is to preserve your franchise, meaning your vote. That is their sole purpose. There's so much information out there available from the WEC. Jeff, I wanted to ask you, so, and folks, if you're just joining us, my very special guest this half hour is Jeff Mandel. He's the general counsel for Law Forward, who has undertaken extraordinary efforts to help protect and preserve each and every Wisconsinite's legal right to vote. Jeff, where are some sources where people can find out other information about the voting processes if they want to become a poll worker, if they're concerned or they see irregularities or they think somebody's being bullied in a poll or those sorts of things? What are some resources for the folks listening out there?
That's a great question. I mean, the first and most immediate resource for most people is going to be their local clerk's office. As you say, we here in Wisconsin have the most decentralized election administration in the whole country, which means that our elections are run by our friends and our neighbors. They're not run by, you know, some government agency of people who are in a faraway city. And what that means is you can reach out to your election, your local municipal clerk. You can reach out to your county clerk. The Elections Commission, which is at elections.wi.gov, you can reach out to us at lawforward.org if you have any questions or feel that your rights are being violated.
Thanks so much for that. Again, that's Law Forward. We're talking with Jeff Mandel, their general counsel. You can find out more about the Elections Commission at elections.wi.gov. You can Google, hey, I live in Brown County, Brown County Elections Clerk, and you can call them up. You can go into their offices. One of the reactions that we have seen from many jurisdictions is that a lot of jurisdictions have what I'm going to call embraced radical transparency. Video cameras, live stream feeds. We here in the state of Wisconsin, in the recounts in Milwaukee and Dane counties, which again, just those two counties they were interested in counting again, in both Milwaukee and Dane counties, we had cameras everywhere and basically live stream the entire recount live on YouTube. This is becoming more and more prevalent so that people can see the sausage being made, if you will. Jeff, good thing, bad thing? I tend to think it's a great development. Like, go watch it happen because it's actually real boring.
I think that's right. Like so many administrative functions, the counting of votes is not a particularly sexy or exciting process, but it is transparent, and sunlight is the best way to get rid of these and defeat these conspiracy theories, because there's nothing to them. They are completely baseless. And yes, you can be an observer at an election place. You can watch people casting their votes. You can be an observer when votes are being counted. You can be an observer and watch the Board of Canvass that meets to certify the vote and finalize things. All of this is completely transparent. And as you say, quite a bit of it these days is live streamed, videotaped, and available even if you're not there at the moment.
Folks, that's Jeff Mandel, General Counsel of Law Forward. We're going to take care of a little business on our end. Come back with Jeff. Your questions and comments, always welcome. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell me something good.
Oh, baby, 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 yeah. Tell me that you like it, yeah.
Tell me something good.
Oh, tell me, baby, tell me that you love me, yeah, yeah.
Welcome back, Wisconsin and beyond. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Joined this half hour by my very special guest, Jeff Mandel, the General Counsel of Law Forward here in Wisconsin. We've been talking about the few hundred lawsuits of various types, both directly from the Trump campaign as well as surrogates happening across the country trying to muck about in our election system. But Jeff's overarching message, which I 100% agree with, is that here in the state of Wisconsin, regardless of the lies being peddled by folks from the GOP, we have an incredibly secure, efficient, accurate, and reliable voting process. It is extremely decentralized. It's our friends and families and neighbors that help with elections. It is regular people that staff polling places with a lot of training. We get it right. The recounts, when they have occurred, both in 2020 and in other years, have proven that. Folks, thanks for your questions. We're getting a lot of good ones on the text lines. I'm trying to respond to those real time. One question that was asked that I did want to share the answer to is, when there are partisan election observers or poll observers in a polling place, they can't like stand right next to you. And I wanted to share with people, no, they cannot. Generally speaking, poll observers, the partisan poll observers, are given a place that they can observe. There's generally about like 5 feet-ish at least of space. They can move around a little bit to, again, they have a right to observe the process, but they cannot invade your space. If a poll observer comes up to you and starts asking you questions, you do not need to interact with them. If someone tries to prevent you from voting or is engaging in bullying behavior, or you're concerned about anything that you see in a polling place, ask to speak to the elections inspector in that polling place. Make your complaint. An elections inspector is the pope of the poll for that particular polling place. They what they say goes. They can call in local police or the local district attorneys. My former office, the Office of Corporation Counsel, works with the DA's office. We got lawyers out at the polls going around. You can get help. Again, go to the pope of the poll, the elections inspector at your poll if you've got concerns. Jeff, but you made an excellent point during the break about all of these, this lying and all of the fear-mongering by the GOP is also hurting Republican voters, too.
It is, you know, and it's really unfortunate because so much of this conspiracy mongering is about undermining faith in elections, which is what happens when you have people who want minority rule. I mean, we've lived through 14 years of gerrymander here in Wisconsin, where we have had a control that is not dictated by the will of the voters. And that's what they tried in 2020. And I think it's what they're trying again here. But many of these conspiracy theories, as they grasp at straws to complain about our processes, they're hurting their own voters. We talked before the break about the town of Thornapple, which is in Rusk County. Rusk County is a deep red part of the state. And so to the extent that they are miscounting votes by not using the best technology to get the most accurate counts, whose votes are being left out? Or think about what's happened across the state with the tremendous skepticism that has been whipped up baselessly about the idea of using drop boxes to return absentee ballots. That's a practice that has been happening in Wisconsin for decades without any concern. And in fact, in 2020, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and then Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald sent a letter to the city of Madison complaining about an event the city of Madison was running and saying, you don't need to do this because drop boxes are safe and secure and expressly authorized by Wisconsin law. That's what they said. And then, of course, as soon as the election results came out and former President Trump didn't like those election results, he started complaining about drop boxes. So now we're in a situation 4 years later where some municipalities in Wisconsin are using drop boxes and some are not. But it's kind of odd because most of the places that are not are places that are smaller, more rural, deeply red, and where those drop boxes are more valuable because the clerk's offices are smaller, have less staff, they're open fewer hours. And so it's more important to have this alternative way to return your ballot if you don't want to put it in the mail. In places like Madison and Milwaukee, places that are bluer, the clerk's offices are larger, they're well staffed, these are big cities, it's much easier to return your ballot to the clerk's office. And there are drop boxes that are safe, secure, many under video surveillance, but they're not even as necessary. So it's kind of perverse.
Yeah, that was Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald saying drop boxes are safe and secure and reliable just a few years ago. My, how times have changed. The interesting thing here, Jeff, in my mind, is that all of this mess, these lies, are directed really to achieve a single aim, though by various different arguments and means. And you and I know what that aim is. The aim is to provide the opportunity based on whatever election mechanics exist in a state jurisdiction to effectively challenge the certification of election results and open up the door to fake electors, right? And to try to put the deadlines that are enshrined in state law for the processing and the certification of election results that then all rolls up into the Electoral College to basically post-election after the game has been played to gum up the mechanics, either by delay or putting forward some sort of question. Jeff, if you can just stick around. Oh, actually, we can't do that. We're up on our time. Last words about that, because I don't think it's going to work.
I don't think it's going to work either. The people are on to it. We know across partisan lines, everyone is disgusted by what happened in 2020, and it's not going to happen again.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Jeff Mandel, General Counsel at Law Forward. He'll come back before the election because this stuff matters. Your vote matters. All my Republican friends listening, I mean you too. Your vote matters. Maggie and the Millionaires coming up next with Amy Hanauer, the Executive Director of the Institute on Tax and Economic Policy. We're analyzing what Trump's tax policies will do to the middle class. Hint, hint.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.